answer you to, he'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day.
Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is written, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It is written, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. It is written, and they searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. For there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. How precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp, its precepts shine, to guide our souls to heaven. It sweetly cheers our drooping hearts, in this dark veil of tears. Life, light, and joy it still imparts, and quells our rising fears. This lamp, through all the tedious night of life, shall guide our way, till we behold the clearer light of that eternal day. Gospel message, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Apostle Paul gave the evangelist Timothy some good advice that can be applied to all Christians when he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. However, some may complain, how can we ever find time for such discipline in our busy lifestyle? That brings to mind what the Lord said to Martha when she complained that her sister Mary spent too much time listening to Jesus and not helping to prepare dinner. Listen to Jesus as he reprimands Martha, and he said in Luke 10, "Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and cumbered about many things, but one thing is needful, for Mary hath chosen the good part, and it shall not be taken away from her." The example of the church in Berea in Acts 17:11 should be followed by modern-day churches. They searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. God approves this practice, and that is why Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Now, the Word of God needs to be rightly divided. If you want to know about the life of Jesus, don't turn to the book of Genesis. Turn to the section in the New Testament that tells about his life. If you wish to learn about the establishment of the church, don't turn to the book of Romans, turn to the book of Acts. To learn about the duties of Christians, read the epistles. While you can learn something of these things anywhere in the Bible, there are certain sections that specialize in various areas. So, rightly divide the word of truth. The first division in the New Testament is the life of Christ, found in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As with all great men, we are always interested when they were born and when did they die. We read in Matthew and Luke that Jesus had an unusual birth. He was born of a virgin. The angel told Joseph that the child would be born of Mary, thy wife, and that child would be of the Holy Spirit. Gabriel told Mary that the power of the Most High would overshadow her, and the holy thing that is begotten shall be called the Son of God. After his birth, we are told how he appeared at the age of 12 and confounded the scribes at Jerusalem with his questions and his answers. Until the age of about 30, he was engaged in the carpentry trade. And then he began his ministry of a little over 3 years, going about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. As to his death, Jesus died young. He was only about 33 years old, and he died a horrible death. He had a police record in Jerusalem. He was numbered with the transgressors and died the death of a drunkard, adulterer, murderer, dope addict, thief, and many other things. Actually, Christ died for our sins. He was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. After he died on the cross, he was buried in a borrowed tomb that belonged to a rich man named Joseph of Arimathea. And on the third day, an angel announced to Mary Magdalene and other women that he was risen from the dead. One reason it was a borrowed tomb was because he did not need it for very long. 3 days would be enough, and Joseph of Arimathea could have it back again and use it himself later on. Jesus had predicted several times that the chief priest would deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, scourge, and crucify, and the third day he would rise again. That is exactly what happened. Jesus arose early on the third day, after spending 40 days on earth. After his resurrection, he went to the Mount of Olives and gave them final instructions, and lifted up his hands and blessed them, and then slowly and with great majesty, he ascended into the heavens and sat down at the right hand of the Father. We need to note that before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave the apostles the Great Commission. He said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. So study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now the next division in the New Testament is the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the book that tells us about the history of the church that was established on the day of Pentecost. It is a story of how a rank bunch of amateurs took the gospel of Jesus and preached it over the world they knew at that generation in that time. They did it in spite of the fact, with the exception of Paul, they had no degrees, there was no Bible college, no radio, no television, no publishing house, no computer, no airplane, no church building. Acts gives us the basic account of the conversion of sinners to Christ, and also the account of some of the non-conversions of sinners. There are several examples of conversions. It is important to notice that before they preached the plan of salvation, they first preached the man of salvation, then the plan of salvation. Some today preach the man of salvation and leave off the plan of salvation. Others preach the plan of salvation and leave off the man of salvation. It is a mistake to do either one. The first example of conversion is the day of Pentecost, the day the church began. Here are several statements that Peter made in that sermon regarding the man of salvation. Ye, by the hands of lawless men, did crucify and slay, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, for it was not possible that he should be holden of it. This Jesus did God raise up, whereof we are witnesses, and he is at the right hand of God exalted. God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye have crucified. Now when they heard that about the man of salvation, they were pricked in their hearts and asked the apostles what they must do. At that point, Peter gave them the plan of salvation. He said, Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Many responded and were baptized, and there were added to them in that day about 3,000 souls. This was the first command given to sinners on earth after Jesus ascended back to heaven. Another example of conversion is the event where Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, a man of great authority. He is what you might call today the Secretary of the Treasury of Ethiopia. Philip preached unto him Jesus from the text about a sheep being led to the slaughter. Like a lamb, dumb before his shearer, he opened not his mouth. He preached unto him about the man of salvation. When they passed by a place of water, the Secretary of the Treasury said, Well, what doth hinder me from being baptized? Then Philip told him, If he believed with all his heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, he could. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. When Philip preached the man of salvation, he must have included the plan of salvation, or the Ethiopian would never have asked about being baptized. Another example of conversion is the Philippian jailer. The jailer brought Paul and Silas out of the prison and asked them, "What must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." Now, don't leave the jailhouse too soon. The jailer at this point did not say he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, because this was the first time he ever heard of Jesus. How could he believe on someone he had never heard of before? In fact, this was Philippi in Macedonia, or Greece, the first time the gospel had been preached on the European continent. Paul and Silas were the first foreign missionaries. That is why Luke tells us they preached the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. When they preached the word of God to him, the jailer washed their stripes, and then took them and baptized him the same hour of the night. It was then he rejoiced greatly, having believed in God. Believing included hearing and obeying the gospel. When he heard about the man of salvation, he obeyed the plan of salvation. Now there are other examples in Acts about the man of salvation and the plan of salvation. But Moses said, "By the word of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." And we have given you three witnesses from the inspired word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The next division of the New Testament is the 21 epistles. The epistles were all written to the churches in various localities, and three of them were written to evangelists such as Timothy, Titus, and Jude. The epistles were written to tell the Christians how to live the Christian life. In Romans, Paul speaks to present-day conditions when he tells us that God gave them up to uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. In Corinthians, Paul speaks to the church that has as many problems as any modern-day congregation. They had problems of division, problems of immorality. Some were worshiping idols, much like today's Christian worship, millionaire ballplayers. Some had a problem with the resurrection and said there was not going to be any. In Galatians, Paul warns the Christians about believing any other book but the Bible as inspired. He said, "If any man preach unto you any other gospel than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema." That means accursed. In Ephesians is Paul's seven-point program for the unity of the followers of Christ. He said, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all." In Philippians, he reminds the Christian that to depart this life as a Christian and be with Christ is very far better than living in this world. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In Colossians, he instructs along other things, husband and wife relationships. And in Thessalonians, he had much to say about the second coming. In the epistles of Timothy and Titus is advice to evangelists. His charge to Timothy is noteworthy. "I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." In Hebrews, there is a containing message and warning. "Neglect not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as ye see the day drawing nigh. He said, to neglect this obligation is to trample underfoot the body of the Son of God, and count the blood of the sacrifice an unholy thing, and have done despite to the Spirit of grace. James tells us that our lives are like a vapor that appear for a short while and then vanishes away. And then Peter adds to this thought when he says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth, but the word of God abideth forever. Then the Apostle John writes three short epistles and instructs us that when Jesus comes, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be made like him. And then I like the way Jude winds up the epistles with this statement of assurance of final victory. He said, now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling, and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish, in exceeding joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, before all time, now and evermore. So study to show thyself approved unto God, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the last division of the New Testament is the book of Revelation that tells us of the future and the final triumph of Christ and his church. In the first chapter, the Apostle John tells us that when the Lord Jesus is the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, he tells us that Jesus washed us from our sins in his blood and made us to be kings and priests unto his God and Father. And to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he reminds us of that victorious day when the Lord will return with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him. Then in Revelation, between the first and last chapters, is the prophesying of the future. The reader of Revelation is impressed with the number of times the number seven is mentioned. We read in the book of Revelation of seven spirits of God, seven candlesticks, seven churches, seven stars, seven angels, seven lamps, seven heads, seven mountains, seven kings, seven trumpets, seven bowls of wrath. Many and varied are the interpretations of these signs. The best way to put the whole thing in perspective is what the Lord said about the seven thunders. When the seven thunders sounded, John was about to write down what he saw, and the Lord told him, seal up the things the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. For this reason, no one will ever be able to predict the future with accuracy, because Revelation is like a jigsaw puzzle. We have all the parts, but we can never complete the picture because the events of the seven thunders are missing. There will always be something we do not know in the book of Revelation. And it is enough for us to know that in Christ we are victorious. And in the last chapter of Revelation, Jesus promised to return. And he made that promise three times. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. So study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Virgil Brock, a singing evangelist in the Church of Christ, wrote this gospel song. Wonderful book called the Bible, guide of my feet day by day, light on the pathway to glory, guidebook to show us the way. First, the Old Testament scriptures tell how the prophets foretold how Jesus would come to save us, and that story will never grow old. Read then the Gospel of Matthew. Mark, Luke, and John tell us, too, how Jesus would come to redeem us and give us all life anew. See how the church was founded. Acts of Apostles will show. It is the book of conversion. We all must read it to know. 21 letters will follow, telling us all how to live, adding to faith Christian virtues. Faithfully, then, we can live. Last of all comes Revelation, telling of heaven so fair, how we will meet the dear Savior, together his glory to share. So, open the Bible and read it. Ponder its message so true. You'll find the great plan of salvation, why Jesus died for you. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel, as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.